Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Lindsey Gentzel. Yes, that Lindsey Gentzel is going to join us. How is she holding up? How is life? She walked away from this place, leave of absence, to help out a great cause. And Lindsey's going to join us in about 30 minutes. We're going to get to a variety of items after this first segment. So try to get through a myriad of some series and some nonsense. Vikings, Seahawks tonight. It's almost the perfect team for the Vikings to play, Dave, since Zim is obsessed with tweaking his offense coordinator about how many runs. Now the public is obsessed with how many runs. And I mean, we should just have, like, in the corner. So we got the main screen is the game when the Vikings have the ball, and then just the shots of Zim and DeFilippo, including when the play is called and how the play works, and just kind of watch that play out. The reason why it's perfect, the Seahawks are the only team in football with more rushing attempts than passing attempts.
Yeah.
Zim's just going to walk over to Brian Schottenheimer, who is the offense coordinator for the Seahawks, and say, what do you think of Egan? I mean, are you sick of the, these clouds and rain every day?
That Pete Carroll, he's kind of know-it-all,
that
isn't he?
Rah-rah phoniness. Once I run this guy out. But, yeah, I mean, how much are the Vikings going to run? And then what are they going to do stopping this team? I mean, the stat that I think both papers might have had it, but 8 of the last 10 games, the Seahawks have run the ball 32 times or more. That's Paul Brown-like.
Yeah, that's unheard of in the NFL today.
That's Big Ten football in the 70s and 80s. That is amazing. And then they're averaging 4.7 a pop, just under 150. And the Vikings' defense, still pretty darn good, limiting. Because they're limiting the fewest yards, second fewest yards in the game. So that's one enormous thing to watch. To me, the next one is Cousins. Can he have a clean, consistent game? He's had moments all year. He's had some brilliant moments all year. The two road games where he was fantastic, they didn't win either one. The tie in Green Bay and the loss at the Coliseum. He's had some, I guess, the Green Bay game at home. He was pretty close to great.
Yeah, he's pretty good in that one, yeah.
He's had some very mediocre games at home. He had a lousy, the Buffalo game, he was lousy. The Detroit game, he wasn't very good. I didn't think the Saints game, he was very good. He wasn't very good in New England. He has not lived up to the contract. He has not been a top 10 quarterback this year, with the caveat, he has one of the five worst offensive lines in football.
That's true. And I give him a little pass in the Saints game just because I think the whole team, after what happened going into halftime, the Thielen fumble and the Saints going back to score when the Vikings would have been up two scores.
Yeah.
I think that threw the whole team off.
And getting the ball in the
That's
second
right.
half.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I think that threw everybody off. So it's not a pass, but I guess I forgive him a little bit for, you know, everyone else being shell-shocked around you.
Right.
But
which is an odd thing for a team that won 13 games last year, that they would fold as they did. I mean, that might be one of the stronger telling moments of this season.
Well, did you see the playoffs last year?
Yeah.
I mean, they started folding against New Orleans, lucky when the Saints blew it.
Correct.
And then we saw what happened in Philly.
You know, I'm not saying he has to be 34-34 tonight, but
just be good. Don't do anything dumb.
Don't the number of dumb plays, and that includes holding the ball too long, get back to running the ball, throw it away. When there are stretches in the game, when maybe the defense has been on the field too much because They just the Seahawks just had a 12-play, 75-yard drive. That's when Cousins has to come out and make smart plays. He still needs to show that team, I think, under adverse circumstances, he will play so well that they will win the game in those unique circumstances. Now, things can go beyond his control because the Vikings defense, right? The Trib had a good story about, you know, some of the stats where they're very good. Obviously, last year they were outstanding until the last six quarters of the season, the Saints second half and Philly. The start of this year, they weren't very good. They've been better of late, but have you ever felt like they were dominant this year, that they were a top three or four defense this year? Because I don't.
No, there were games that you knew they were in control of the other offense.
But right.
It was moments. It wasn't, you know, probably even a full stretch of one game or two, three games in a row. Because, they have not been the dominant group we had hoped to see.
And maybe the New Orleans game in the first half is one of them. Again, where they really were stopping Breeze and Kamara and Ingram, but then the Thielen fumble changed it. But you also remember that game also, you had the Diggs Cousins.
Yeah. Well, I'd say the second half of the Packers game. Once the Vikings tied it up against the second Packers game, once the Vikings tied it up at 14 and then went ahead,
They were very good.
You just kind of saw it. All right, the defense is in control of Aaron Rodgers right now, which is a very good place to be.
True, and he was much better yesterday. But Rodgers hasn't been Rodgers.
Oh, certainly not.
You know, and Wilson has been fantastic against this team. Wilson is also the most underrated quarterback in the league. Because, I mean, he's top five, right, for you? And I don't know if he's, I mean, it's not like no one talks about him. So let's put that in perspective. But he just doesn't get mentioned. And I don't put him with Rodgers, Breeze, and Brady. But isn't he the definitive fourth best guy?
Probably. Well, your guy Pat Mahomes might be making a call for that.
But I'm just saying,
he's certainly not overrated. Well, he's either properly or underrated to a...
Correct. Go with the show idea. Yeah, I'm saying more over the period of time. Yeah, right now, this year, without question, Mahomes is... I mean, the stuff Mahomes does is... You got to figure out a way to watch him. He is breathtaking. All right, let's see if we can move through a number of these stories. We've talked a lot the last few years, number of incidents on planes, drunken behavior, inappropriate behavior by airlines, and also the sexual harassment of women happening way too often. Booze, confined spaces, louts, awful people. So a number of people raised the idea of a female-only plane section, female-only plane section to combat mid-air assaults. Dave Harrigan, by the time we are done with 2020, so 2 years, will any major U.S. airlines offer up on regular flights, not just like a one-time publicity, here we go, offer up a female-only section on any of their flights?
Vote no on that one.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. It's awful what takes place. Some airlines and some flight attendants and some customers handle it better. There is jackassian behavior throughout our society. We're doing a much better job shining light on that. But I don't think we're going to get to that point.
No, I could see a boutique airline popping up serving females only. Could you do that?
I don't know if they'll do that. I mean, because we've had these where it could be no kids, right? Was it entire airlines was doing no kids, or were they just doing certain flights?
That I don't know.
Where it was no kids. It's been discussed elsewhere outside the country, and I found another story too about flight attendants and the harassment they still face, and there's no doubt about it. We see these stories all the time. We see them in public transit, right? We hear these stories here in town. We read more about them in bigger cities. New York, it seems like if you're on the subway, it's basically good luck to you.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, you hear about it with, still waitresses at restaurants, too.
100%.
Yeah.
It's omnipresent, and just because it happens with the shine in the spotlight and losing jobs, potentially resting big names doesn't mean that there's an enormous trickle-down effect. In fact, maybe that's something we'll talk about later this week, you know, and get some involvement from more females to call in and say, since we've watched it, politicians, television, other very successful, well-known people, have you witnessed a change in what has taken place at your jobs? This is a Dear Amy. Every year, my husband and I host a holiday get-together for several friends and neighbors. We provide the main dish, a couple sides, and drinks. We ask friends to fill in the other salads, sides, and desserts. That's fair, right?
Seems all right.
This year, with little notice, my friend Barb, quote-unquote, I don't think it's really Barb, text me, this year I'll need you to prepare my food differently due to a recent diagnosis with celiac disease. She explained to me that even a crumb of cross-contamination will result in her not feeling well. She instructed me to check with all the spices and ingredients and to thoroughly clean all my cooking and serving utensils before preparing for her. She says my husband was livid. I responded that I would check with ingredients to try my best to accommodate. What should I do? Dear host, you try not to gauge whether Barb's disease is as serious as she indicates, because they're wondering how serious celiac disease is, and for some people it can be just horrendous. You should simply assume that it is. I agree, however, she's not communicating her needs in a way designed to inspire such effort on your part. In fact, her requirements seem overwhelming or coming off as demands. Instead of you communicating her needs to other guests about bringing food, you should suggest that she contact them. What do you think? You're the host. You invite me.
Yes.
Yeah. I have celiac disease.
Okay.
And I'm a pain in the butt already.
Yes, you are.
So I'm saying, here's my list. And you now believe me. You now believe I have this. I've had some flare-ups recently, and they've been very concerning, painful. And so I'm saying you have to go through significantly more steps this year. Fair? Or I, the one with celiac disease, have to accept the ultimate responsibility, and I should bring my own food as opposed to be worried and concerned if somebody didn't follow all the protocol, because I lean that way.
I lean option B as well. I think it's fine if you are the person with celiac or whatever it is,
yep,
to let the host know, hey, just so you're aware, you know, I can't do gluten or whatever it is.
Yep.
If you can make something, great. If not, don't worry, I'm bringing my own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think as the host, it's a wonderful gesture to put something a little special together that everyone can eat, but it's,
yeah,
also, you know, gluten-free. But, you know, you certainly don't have to worry about everything you're making, plus everyone else is making, if we're talking about a potluck-style dinner here.
Yeah.
That has to go, you know, everyone has to cater to one person's specific dietary needs. I think that's going a little bit too far.
Okay, let's hypothetically, you have 10 couples. And now she's showing up. I mean, I'm not even sure I want to be. Well, first of all, I don't want to be her, because I know some people have that, or I've read about it too, and it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
But aren't you just going to be paranoid beyond belief? Hey, Dave really do this? Did Adam really do this? Did,
yes,
Chad really do this? You know? And it's not fair, right? And,
no, you're playing celiac roulette at that point, aren't you?
Right. And I mean, you want to go to the party and enjoy what everybody else has. But unfortunately, that's the position you're in at this particular time. And I get it, maybe if it's you and your significant other and your best friend and her significant other, and it's a really small group, and he or she knows about this and really cater. But when you start bringing in that many other couples, and all of a sudden you're sharing utensils and you're doing different things, if that's a concern, good luck. I think it's bring your own food.
I think your responsibility is either, yeah, bring your own food, maybe eat something before you leave, but then make something that's celiac friendly.
Yeah.
That everyone can enjoy. You can say, hey, just so you know, this is the kind of stuff I'm eating right now, and it can be very delicious, hopefully.
Are we being cruel?
Maybe a little,
yeah,
bit, but come on, are we going to be cruel to the 10 other couples that are there too?
Yeah, I mean, this could be a great Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, too, with Larry getting mad. You know, what is this? Come on.
Yes.
You know, is this really a thing, you know? Although, that's what they were doing. They,
yes,
were doubting. weather is a thing.
He's not going to make a thing or not going to believe it, but then he'll make something that's not celiac friendly, but not tell anybody, and then just blame it on whoever it else.
Right, just to see if she really had it and blame Jeff and Susie, you know?
Yeah.
Or Leon, you know. All right, some newspaper headlines that are well worth discussing. Some nuns you can't trust and a man who's found the key to his life at 101 with a drink that's just awful. I'll tell you about that in moments. Lindsey Gentzel, yes, our Lindsey, joins us in about 10, 12 minutes here on WCCO. All right, Dave has found me these items. So if we get in trouble, it's on Dave. That's what I'm going with.
That's fair.
The Uranus Examiner ends publication.
Why not?
The Uranus Examiner ends publication blaming judgmental people. I didn't realize we had a Uranus, Missouri. Did you?
I did not.
I did not. It's a small Missouri newspaper. His name inspired chuckles and groans when it launched. They announced the end of the publication after publishing just 5 editions this September. Statements posted on Facebook, the managing editor blamed judgmental and the fuddy-duddy squad.
No.
Yes.
No, it's the name of your publication, actually. That's the problem.
Uranus is an unincorporated tourist spot along Route 66 and is known for its quirky attractions.
Like the paper? Is it better if it's the Uranus Press or the Uranus Tribune?
No, I think Examiner is, well, that's the gold, right? That's the gold. Bugle, Gazette, you know?
No, we're not doing the Uranus Bugle. Definitely not.
Not that one?
No, not the Bugle.
I mean, it's a town, right? I mean, it's unincorporated. Do they just have a complete double entendre, double standard with everything named after it?
I think they should.
They should, and they should just own it. Now, is that better than this one? You're Mr. Middle America News Today. This is the Pratt Tribune in Pratt, Kansas.
Very familiar.
Unfamiliar with Pratt, Kansas.
Oh, you're, wow, that makes one of us.
Yeah.
I make it my second home.
How do you know Pratt, Kansas? You know, Great Lakes there?
Love the lakes.
A lot of bike routes and things like that?
Yes, all those things are there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so how am I going to approach this one, Dave? So students were getting an opportunity to see a job for the first time. They're getting experience for the first time. So first-hand experience, right?
Seems good.
Seems good. The headlines seem to forget a hyphen, though. Hyphen, overrated, underrated, properly rated.
Well, I think with this story, very much underrated.
Very much, because it should have said students get first, hyphen, hand.
First hand.
Yes, right. First hand.
Yes.
Right? They could have just went one word.
They could
first
have.
Hand.
That would have worked.
Right. But instead, the headline says students get first hand job experience. Right there in the Pratt Tribune.
That's why we say the hyphen is underrated.
Underrated.
Well,
yeah.
What was the job? I'm just the oldest profession.
I missed it. Did you see the job?
Let's just say it was mechanic work. That's fine.
Was it? So
I don't know.
I don't think it even says.
I didn't get past that.
No,
headline.
I did not.
Why would you?
I did not either. And I'm looking here. No, don't see it.
Use the hyphens, folks.
Yeah, how do you think that would play here with the Pioneer Press? Hey, we're looking for hits on WCCRadio.com. I mean, let's go with that. How about nuns stealing $500,000 from a Catholic school and go gambling? $500,000. Over 10 years.
Nice little scheme, too. Tuition checks, just
set
one aside.
Just funnel them off the side.
Yeah, no problem.
People with masculine faces are perceived to be more competent than those with feminine features, which could adversely affect our choice of world leaders. What do you think? You got a masculine face? Do I have a masculine face?
Well, does the beard count that I've got going?
That's got a tough guy going? I don't know. Presenting these faces to 33 volunteers as a part of a new line experiment asking them to identify them as either male or female, the study's authors identified a clear gender bias. People rated the most competent faces as male and the less competent ones as female. Oh. Welcome to 2018. And we still are patting women on the head.
Apparently. We're still there, I guess.
All right, one last thing, then we'll pause and we'll get to Lindsay. 101-year-old man credits long life to Coors Light. 4 o'clock every day, he's got the alarm, and he drinks Coors Light. Coors Light's horrible. Now, your comment earlier today was, share it with the audience.
I don't drink light beer as a general rule.
Yeah.
I don't drink enough beer to want to waste it on light beer. I'll take the good stuff.
Yep.
But if I have to go light, the Silver Bullet would be the top of the list.
I don't drink much light beer either, la-di-da. But I just detest Coors Light.
More so than other light beers?
Yes. But I don't know. Somebody text me. Text us your opinion on Coors Light. And what is a good light beer?
There's not many.
Just go with the hard stuff.
Oh, I agree.
Come on.
I agree.
You know?
I agree. Take a few extra calories and actually enjoy what you're drinking.
Correct. 33 past 2. Traffic, weather, and then Lindsay makes a return.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
One thing that has not changed since Lindsay left, our excellent clock management. We return at 39 past 2. Our friend Lindsay Gensel is with us. How are you?
I'm good. You know, it's actually good that you gave me an extra couple minutes because I just squeezed in a run and I was booking it back. So I got time to get some water and not be completely out of breath when I talk to you for the first time.
Most of the time you're out of breath when you talk to me, right?
Oh, I always am. Yeah, I'm just, my heart races every time you call. I just get really nervous.
Yeah,
well,
you're human. Okay, how has the experience been so far?
Incredible and also insanely overwhelming for multiple reasons. The work that's being done down here with All Hands and Hearts is exactly what I was looking for. It was exactly what I needed when I decided that the world was just getting to be too much to handle. And coming down here was an enormous decision for me, an enormous decision for John, for our family, and for me and my career. And I found exactly what I was looking for within like 3 days of getting here. It was my third day. I was on a muck and gut, which essentially means you go into a home and take out everything that's been damaged by the storm. And the really scary thing about Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Maria in St. Thomas, which is the island that I'm on, is that 90% of the buildings here were damaged after those two storms. So the amount of work here is astronomical. And so the little things we get to do, so we had been asked by this man, Muhammad, who was 76, if we could come over and help remove debris from his yard. And come to find out, he's a two-time Vietnam vet. He was drafted his first time and volunteered to go back the second time and was born and raised on the island. And it was just, he made us lunch and welcomed us into his home and was just so grateful. And it was kind of funny because, you know, here we are doing work and he's incredibly grateful for it. But at the same time, we got so much back from him. And I came back that day and I was like, this is what I wanted. Like, pack my bags. I can go home. I'm done. No, in all honesty, it was just, it's been great.
So
the only downside is, you know, communal living with 50 other people.
Okay. We'll get to that in a second. So, cause I can't imagine that. So are a lot of people doing this, Lindsay? Do people come to All Hands and Hearts, know where they're located and say, here's what I need? Or is it more All Hands and Hearts are combing the area and finding spots where they can help out?
At this point, you know, we're nearly 15 months after the storm. People are coming to us in the initial moments. So when Hurricane Irma hit, All Hands and Hearts put a team on the ground immediately to start doing assessments because one of their priorities is getting community centers, daycare centers, schools back up and running as quickly as possible, because there's studies that show if one generation misses an education, that gets passed on to the next generation. So the focus is usually on kids, families, communities. Where can they go after a storm and feel safe and feel a part of their town? Well, those projects are mostly wrapped up. So now people call us, and it was really interesting talking with Eric. He's one of our project managers, about the fact that he'll go and do an assessment, Chad, and he'll be the fifth person to come through to tell a family or a homeowner how they can help. You know, there are so many contractors. The most heartbreaking story about this older woman who paid $60,000 to have her retaining wall fixed so she could drive up to her home, and the contractor took her down payment, which was $30,000, and left town and didn't do any of the work.
Awful. Absolutely. Yeah. And do they really have a system to know if they can trust this individual?
No.
Right?
So there are no checks and balances down here. And if you talk to any of the homeowners, that's one of their frustrations. You know, the Virgin Islands are a part of the United States, but it's not like if you and I go to the city of Crystal and I want to do plumbing, you know, they're going to come and check to make sure that the water heater was installed properly. There's none of that down here. And so it's come to the point, you know, 15 months later where homes are sitting with stuff still in them because they can't find anyone to do the work that they can trust. And, you know, with this woman's case, she's in her late 70s. She doesn't want some strange person coming to her house.
No.
She doesn't want
right.
her address circulated around town that she's a vulnerable individual. And so a lot of the people look at us, and I say us in the sense, you know, all hands and hearts, with the reputation they've built on the island is just, it's really fantastic.
Okay, so you and John have been fairly handy or willing to try things at your house. Now
yes.
you're going on this mission, on this adventure where you don't know what you're going to be doing almost day to day. How comfortable and how skilled have you been when all of a sudden now it's tomorrow, it's Tuesday, and here's the next thing we're going to try?
I won't lie. I'm kind of kicking butt down here. In fairness, we have really great site supervisors who are incredibly well-trained. And what I really love about it, you know, the woman I'm working with right now, Abby, is we're installing a ridge beam in a home. So the home we're working on, you know, Irma took the roof off and then Maria filled the house with water. And this woman has been living there, Chad, without a roof since the day Irma hit. She hid in her kitchen while the storm destroyed her home and has lived there ever since. And so we went in to just do a roof repair, and they found out that the home had no ridge beam. And a ridge beam is basically what holds the home together,
sure,
especially
yeah.
in an area with high winds or hurricanes. So we're redoing everything, and it's great because Abby will teach you, well, she'll show you, and then she actually wants you to do it. There's no cop-out. Like, you have
yeah.
to do it. So I've been on ladders, I've been straddling the ridge beam, putting in rafters. It's Friday I installed a galvanized metal roof. You know, it's funny, and it's all ages of people. The youngest person here is 18 and the oldest is like mid 70s.
Okay, so let's talk about that. You go down there, you know no one. When you first land, and I know it was an adventure getting there. When you first arrived, what was your gut and mind telling you?
Well, we're staying in a condemned middle school. And when we rolled up, I actually was with another volunteer who I had flown in from San Juan with. Thankfully, her work boots at the airport were a dead giveaway that we were probably going to the same location.
Yeah.
And we roll up. It's pitch black. It's like 8 p.m. on Monday night. And we're like, it honestly felt like the beginning of an apocalypse movie. Like, what is happening? Living in the school is not my favorite part. You know, we're in three classrooms. There's 10 bunks in each one. So each, you know, 20 people per room. We're at capacity. Showers are tight. There's only so many bathroom stalls. We only have power from 6:30 at night until 8 in the morning. So you adjust for sure.
Yeah.
The first night I didn't have a fan. And then the next day I paid someone to drive me to Kmart so I could buy a fan. And that's the other thing about the island. Everything is so expensive. So I say this as someone who came down mentally prepared for that. The people on the island who need supplies can't even get them because they're sold out. And if they are there, they're so expensive. The inflation from the mainland is just like The example I'll use is I bought a case of LaCroix to treat myself. I can get probably two cases for $6, maybe at Target. One case, $8. 12 cans for $8.
Well, they're just taking advantage of the system, right? I mean, they know, you know, there's not enough supply to push down the demand so they can charge those numbers. Lindsay's with us. She is with this phenomenal organization, All Hands Hearts. And, I mean, that's where the best way to look at it online and Twitter, All Hands Hearts. I'm looking at Lindsay's tweet right now. She is in St. Thomas. Okay, I know at times you insomnia and sleep. How are you holding up at that point?
Well, my first week I was on the top bunk, and that was terrible because I had to get down about 8 times a night, and I think I woke everyone up and no
one
wanted.
What are you, like an old guy who's got prostate issues? Or?
Well, yeah, I mean, we have to be up at 6:30, so you're going to bed at 9, and I'm not used to that.
Right.
And anyway, the first night I got like 3 hours of sleep, and I was a basket case. And since then, I have poached a bottom bunk with a very nice mosquito net. My mosquito bites are going away. I posted a very lovely photo early on. I looked like I had a bad case of the measles. So they were very much enjoying me down here. Mm. And sleeping is not that bad. The issue is that, and I'm going to say this, and people are going to roll their eyes, but it is so hot here. It's not like enjoyable hot, and you're working on roofs, and you're sweating, and you have to wear all of your protective gear. And one day I had to wear like one of those 3M filter masks because the mold was so bad, and it was like 88 degrees and like nearly 100% humidity, and you just sweat and you're miserable. And then you come back to a condemned school, so it's not even like you go home and like have comfort. Like it's great, don't get me wrong. I'm loving what I'm doing, but it's also exhausting. And for the people who are down here for a significant amount of time, I just, like, kudos to them, because a month for me is like
a lot.
Like, I see the end in sight. Yep. I love what I'm doing. But I think if I do it again, I'd probably go and be a day volunteer and then have a bed that I'm comfortable sleeping in at home.
AllHandsAndHearts.org is the organization if you want to check it out. AllHandsAndHeart.org. Now, the last time you were on air, you and John were joking, where John basically said, just send me a text, let me know you're there, and we're good, you know?
Yeah.
I'm assuming the two of you have communicated a little more than that text.
Yes, yes, we have. He is a champ man, you know? I said it from the get-go that when you come home and you tell your partner this crazy idea and he supports you 110%, and then the first week I'm gone in this like tropical paradise, I think it snowed like 4 times and he was sick and he had to do all the shoveling alone, and I felt really bad. So I think there's a nice dinner out downtown somewhere when I get back in his future.
But I mean, you weren't exactly in Hawaii laying by the pool having Mai Tais. I mean, I'm thinking about that mold story. 100% humidity. I'm wondering how long I would have lasted. But
I'm gonna tell you one quick story, because I know we're up against the clock. But so when I moved bunks, it was a very exciting day for me. I packed up all my things in one room and I rolled it down to the next room.
Sure.
And I was unpacking my stuff, and the world's largest cockroach. Like, this one looks like a cockroach that would eat the cockroaches at WCCO Radio.
Yeah, because
like,
I was going to say, our bathrooms are pretty good.
Yeah. No. These, put those to shame.
Mm.
Comes flying out of my bag and lands on my mosquito net. And it's quiet hours, so I'm trying not to make noise as I'm trying to get this giant cockroach away from my bedding. And I flung something at it, and it flung up and crawled across my face.
Oh, how did you handle that?
Well, I wanted to start myself on fire. I thought, you know, this is the end. We're calling it a day.
Yeah.
It was a good run.
Get me out of here.
Cockroach on my face.
Yeah.
It was horrendous.
Yeah,
I didn't even get to kill it. It scurried under a bookcase. I didn't even get that revenge in the end.
I would have chased that cockroach from here to the entire island. Oh,
yeah, it was terrible.
All right, so when do you fly back?
I fly back late next week. I actually am very excited. I actually randomly have friends on the island.
Oh.
So it's one thing to go to homes of strangers and see the damage. It's another thing to roll up to your friend's house on a Friday night when they generously pick you up and take you out to dinner and to see their home or what's left of it. And, you know, it's just like, it was a healthy dose of perspective about what happened here last September and what people dealt with. And in all honesty, the crazy part, like, the stories just keep rolling, you know. A lot of these people were insured through, if they had insurance, many didn't, but they were insured through insurance agencies in Puerto Rico. So after Maria hit Puerto Rico, they were left in a lurch. They had no one they could call. There was nothing. So you have these safety precautions put in place for when the hurricane hits, and then another hurricane basically ruins that entire plan.
Listen, you knew what you needed. It sounds like it's lived up to it as challenging and as daunting, but also as rewarding as it's been for you. It's great to talk to you again. Be safe, and we'll see you when you get back.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right, absolutely. Lindsay checking in. You can always follow Lindsay's updating things a fair amount through Twitter, through Facebook. We've even posted something. And again, the organization, allhandsandhearts.org. We're done. We're drained. We're exhausted. You can always podcast the show, WCCORadio.com/Chad, WCCORadio.com/Chad. If you want to send an email directly to me, it's a part of the deal. Praise, criticism, golf invitations, maybe a membership, Cypress Point, that'd be great. Chad.Hartman@Entercom.com. Programming note. Major Garrett alluded to it last week. Major Garrett in studio with us next Monday in the 2 o'clock hour. Enjoy the rest of the afternoon, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.